Second Book of Kings, chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 15 through to verse 24. Luke chapter 14, and we'll commence the reading at verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his precious and holy word. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ said in those well-known words in John 6, verse 37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. A people will come, and they will not be turned away. He will not turn away the man, or the woman, or the girl, or the boy, who humbly goes to him by way of faith. It is come and welcome to Jesus Christ, and the Lord himself makes that abundantly plain. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so the invitation is to go forth, but sadly many refuse the invitation. However, the Lord's house one day will be filled. That is the church, as we see in this parable, of the great supper. And so we ought to be encouraged. There still is room. Just notice verse 22. And yet there is room. What an encouragement. For those words stand still and true today. Yet there is room. Now our Lord, as we note in this chapter, entered into the home of a certain Pharisee to eat bread on the Sabbath day, verse 1. And there in the home he healed a man that had the dropsy, a condition characterized by watery fluid, a build-up of watery fluid in the tissues or in the body cavity. Well, he healed this man. He also in the home taught concerning humility and hospitality, particularly that one is to have a gracious spirit or attitude, inviting and welcoming those that are poor. This was against the teaching of the Pharisees. They were proud and they looked down on others and they would not welcome such into their home. But our Lord sought to deal with that. Now afterwards, a certain man said to him in verse 15, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And our Lord responds by telling him this parable. And here we can rightly think of the gospel feast, particularly considering it in the New Testament dispensation. We haven't got time to go into that tonight, but that's what our Lord is teaching. Let me underline, there is blessing to be found in the gospel. There is blessing to be found near to Christ in his church. Now we just notice verse 16. A certain man made a great supper and bade many. Here's the introduction. And just very briefly tonight, before we look at the TBS video and give extra time for prayer, I'd like us to consider, first of all, a wonderful supper, and then secondly, the invitation. First of all, a wonderful supper. Verse 16, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Come, for all things are now ready. What an invitation. And what an encouragement. And are we not thankful, dear brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes, we're Gentiles. A little later on in the parable, we see the Gentiles. But were we not encouraged? The Lord has done it all. All things are ready. How blessed that we have received Christ, and we know what it is to dine with him in his church, to feed on his word, and to know many other blessings. As it were, a table is spread before us, and there our Lord welcomes us, and we have been so blessed. Now we consider here a feast or a supper. And as we note, all things are ready, verse 17. And it reminds us there is rich, wonderful provision. At certain times of the year, you may sit down to a feast. And you may have a number of courses. Soup to begin with, maybe. And then comes the roast dinner and cranberry sauce. And then the pudding. And then after 8 minutes, tupperware. A feast before you. A number of years ago, some of us travelled to South Wales. And there was a pastor's prayer meeting. And after the prayer meeting, those in South Wales had provided this raspberry bread pudding and custard. It was lovely. What a feast it was. Well, consider here the supper. What a rich and wonderful feast. What provision. What provision there is in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in his church. Such wonderful provision. Consider in the gospel of Christ we find all we need. Jerry Bill Keith wrote, God has furnished a complete salvation. We need not look in any other direction. Remember those words of Peter, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We don't need to look anywhere else. We have found all we need in the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. And what grace is displayed as we consider those words again in verse 17. Come, for all things are now ready. What a wonderful provision. And it's come. What a gracious invitation. It's all a grace. I say this very carefully. Men and women do not need to bring their own meal. All things are ready. All what we have in Christ through grace. There's rich and wonderful provisions. Let's just open this up briefly. First of all, consider the Lord Jesus Christ. All what we have found in him. In him there is life. Remember those words of our Lord in John 6 verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth me on me shall never thirst. We have this life from Christ, and we're being sustained, are we not? We're being nourished, we're being blessed through him. We have life now, we will have life at death, and we will have life forever because of him. How blessed we are to be in union with Christ, and to be receiving from him at this very moment. Oh, what blessings we have through him, what a life. And he came that we might have this life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, says our Lord in John 10, verse 10. He came, he met the condition of life, so we would know an abundant life through him. Oh, what rich provision we have through our Saviour. There's life. We're accepted. There's pardon. We're supported. We're helped, we're guided, we're fed. He's the shepherd, and he feeds us in the green pasture. He feeds us with his word. What provision for the soul. How he preserves us. How he keeps us. How blessed we are through him. So consider Christ. He is the provision for the soul. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 verse 4 wrote, when Christ, who is our life? See how the Apostle puts it? Who is our life? What a provision we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author or the fountain of our life. We're here tonight in a spiritual way because of Jesus Christ. And when death comes, in the moment of death, at that very moment we will still be spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? It's hard to grasp that, isn't it? But what a thought. The moment of death, we'll still be united to Christ. We'll still be spiritually alive. What a comfort that is. Rich and wonderful provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've never been disappointed, have we? Disappointed in myself, we're disappointed in ourselves, but never in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never disappointed. A number of years ago, we were in North America, and we went to a particular restaurant called Hostas. Amazing restaurant, and the value for money was spectacular. So much food. Lovely bread was brought in with butter while you were waiting for main meal. Great big roast dinner. It was a lovely meal. Wasn't disappointed. A few days later, we were on a journey and we pulled into a roadside cafe. What a contrast. The meat wasn't cooked. It was cold. And we went away disappointed. We've come to Jesus Christ and we are not disappointed. We're satisfied, aren't we? In him. We're so blessed in him. Never disappointed in him. So consider first of all the Lord Jesus Christ. What a rich provision he is for the soul. We're living because of him. We're being sustained. We're being upheld all the way home and then forever. But then leading on, consider what provision there is in his church. His fellowship with him. Revelation 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Now we can rightly consider it in light of that initial approach of the Lord to the soul, but particularly in light of Song of Solomon, chapter 5. It is those subsequent times when the Lord draws near to dine with us. And oh, how blessed we are. We're in a banqueting house and we dine with the King. How wonderful. We hear his voice and we speak to him. How blessed we are to know this dining. And what provisions we have through him in his house. There is the worship of his name. There is the Lord's Supper. Oh, such things. There's the preaching of the word, there's the praise, and so on and so forth. There's his word read. What wonderful provisions. And then just opening us up a little further, what provisions through his people. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what provisions through his people. How blessed we are to know the gospel, to know Christ, and to enjoy precious fellowship with him in his church. Song of Solomon 2 verse 3, of the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Just note those words there. His fruit was sweet to my taste. I remember going up to a certain place called Old Orchard. In the New Forest where my grandfather used to live, the apple trees, lovely apples, the pear trees, when I used to walk past the pear trees wasn't so keen on them. Then there were the plum trees. What fruit there was, the loganberries, the raspberries, so on and so forth. Sweet they were. Oh, consider the provisions of the house. His fruit is sweet to my taste. What fruit? The blessings of his love, the blessings of his grace, and his mercy. He brought me to the banqueting house. His church, the church of Jesus Christ, is a banqueting house. It's a feast, isn't it? As we see here, what provision? Listen to Reverend John Brown of Paddington, quote, commenting on those words, most pleasant and transporting fellowship with him is enjoyed. The church is a banqueting house. We're not thinking of the building, are we? No, we're thinking of his church. We're thinking of those ordinances that belong to him. We're thinking of the gatherings of the saints when he comes in the midst. It's a banqueting house. You might go to a National Trust house or an English Heritage house. There's one on the Isle of Wight, Osborne House, where Queen Victoria was. And you go into such a house like that, or other houses, and you see the great big banqueting tables. All these seats put up to the table, everything set out, the glasses on the table, it's all there. What a banqueting table! What a banqueting table in his church. What provision we know now, but oh, what provision we shall know hereafter in glory. What a feast, what a supper. Are we not thankful? We're enjoying it. And we're going to enjoy it again and again. Sadly, so many in this world miss out on the feast. Well, that brings us to our second point tonight, our second and final point. The invitation. We thought of the supper, but let's now think of the invitation. Just notice verse 16, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The Lord invites many. Now we think first of all of the Jews. As I said earlier, we haven't got time to look at this in great detail. But first of all we think of the Jews. And he sends his servant. We can think of John the Baptist or Christ himself. At the end of the Old Testament dispensation, just before the New Testament dispensation. That helps us to understand. Verse 17. So then, many Jews were invited. The disciples went forth as well. Many Jews were invited, but there were excuses, as we notice from verse 18 through to verse 20. So what do we then read in verse 21? So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Remember again, we considered earlier, the Pharisees, they looked down on certain ones. They were despised. Remember our Lord was teaching that one is to be gracious in their hospitality, not looking down on others. Well, here in the parable, we think of the Pharisees. They looked down on others. But the servant, they were to go into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Those that were looked down upon, sadly, by the Pharisees. So they went forth. Notice now verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And now we come to the spreading of the gospel amongst the Gentiles, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Compel them to go in, come in, to the highways, the hedges. And so the invitation still goes forth today. Poor sinners, those in need, are invited. Now just going back to verse 21, we think there are those that were despised by the Pharisees, looked down upon. But you just consider, is it not a picture here of sinners in general, maimed, injured by sin, the halt, the lame, the blind, the spiritual blindness, they do not see Jesus. Oh, what sin has done. But yet the invitation is to go forth to war. There's those who are spiritually blind. They cannot see the loveliness of Jesus. Invite them to Jesus. Come. The invitation is to all. In Proverbs 8 verse 4 we read, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Unto you, O men. There's the call to mankind, that general invitation. Luke 2 verse 10, familiar words. There's so much in these words. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And whoever believes, the road of joy of the gospel. Where there is really the invitation, a gracious invitation, a genuine invitation. It's a real invitation, isn't it? It's a sincere invitation. Sinners are to know they're invited. And that if they go to Jesus, he will not turn them away. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Our Lord said in John 10 verse 9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. 15 years ago, I was given a book by Dorothy. I haven't returned the book. It's by the Robert Murray McShane. And he has a sermon on John 10, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in. Particularly those words, any man. And this is what Robert Murray McShane wrote. There are many sweet invitations in the Bible. I have often felt these words to be the sweetest of them all. If any man. Therefore let them be invited. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Those that have no money, come. And your hands will be full. Your life will be full. Not only in this life in a spiritual way, but throughout all eternity. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And if you read the following verses, you see there plainly, in the heart of man there is a natural thirst, not after the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a natural hunger, but not after the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is this thirst, there is this hunger after something. They're looking in the wrong direction. The invitation is, come to Jesus Christ. And your hands, your life will be full. You'll know salvation. Let them know. Now in closing, just notice verse 23 again. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. We have this word, compel. Compel them. Constrain them. To necessitate, literally. Use powerful arguments. Show the importance. Compel them. Tell them of sin in a loving way. And the consequences of sin. In a place called hell. Tell them these things. Show to them why they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Compel them. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. Compel them to come in. It's the words of the Lord, isn't it? And what the Lord is saying, go forth. Go forth to poor sinners and make known they need me. There's no other hope without me. Constrain them. Let sinners know they need Jesus. You know, when we witness with people, what's our prayer? The Lord gives us opportunity. We can present the Saviour. Because we know that they need Jesus. If that wasn't true, we wouldn't go, or we wouldn't seek to go and tell them of Jesus. Why do we seek to tell them of Jesus? Because they need him. And are we not thankful for those who came to us, knowing that we needed the Lord Jesus Christ? Compel them. It's strong here. Show them. Constrain them. Necessity. Show why it is necessary for them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Show them their only hope is Jesus. In compelling, there goes the invitation. Verse 23, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Compel them to come in, believe in Jesus. Compel them, that my house may be filled. Just notice verse 22, these are precious words, aren't they? Yet there is room. And there's still much room tonight. Yet there is room. One day the house is going to be filled. What an encouragement to know. There is still room. And the house is not yet filled. Yet there is room. In closing, consider verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Sadly, the excuses came, as we see amongst the Jews, and sadly today, and there's going to be those who are going to miss the supper. They're going to miss dining with Christ in a spiritual way. They're going to miss the blessing of a life from him. They're going to miss out on that. I am so thankful. I'm enjoying it. And so you are, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. When you think of those who are not going to taste of the supper, are we not thankful that we have tasted that the Lord is gracious and we keep on tasting? At times we're weary and we're cast down, but there comes this little reviving and all we're taken with Jesus and we're thankful for him. We're not missing out, are we? We're enjoying the banqueting house. And we're going to enjoy heaven one day. We're not going to miss out. But there will be those who will miss out. They were invited, but they refused. In conclusion, how thankful we ought to be. And does it not stir up our hearts to seek to do what we can to tell poor sinners of Jesus? The Lord will draw a people to himself. Poor lost wandering sheep will be brought in. The Lord uses us. The Lord uses the preaching of the gospel. And we're to go forth to do what we can, knowing there is still room. If there's someone here or listening online and you're not a believer, it's come and welcome to Jesus Christ to you. And I read there in verse 22, yet there is room. There is room. Or that you will go, my prayer is that you will not miss the supper. What a thought, those who will miss the supper. What a blessing to know we're enjoying the supper. And we're going to enjoy Jesus for all eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we desire just to humbly thank thee tonight that thou, through thy grace, did make us respond to the invitation, that we're enjoying the blessing of a life from Christ, feeding spiritually upon him, knowing that dining. Lord, how can we thank thee enough that we're not missing out, Lord? When we consider so many in this world, they're missing out. Their eyes are blind and so many will miss out for all eternity. We humbly thank thee tonight that we're not missing out. We're enjoying the rich provision already. What a feast it is for the soul. Help us, O Lord, to do what we can. We can't do any more, Lord. And thou dost accept what we do, like that lady of old. Lord, help us to do what we can to compel men and women, boys and girls, to show to them their only hope is thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, help us as we go forth. Help us to go forth with hearts of love, hearts of compassion, hearts of mercy and favour to poor lost wandering sinners. We thank thee that yet there is room. And still there will be room until the house is full. And then the Saviour will come. Oh, what an encouragement this is. Help us to pray tonight in view of those words, yet there is room. And we pray, yet even in this locality, that there will be those drawn to Jesus through grace. Hear us now then. Hear our prayers. Forgive us our sins. For Christ's sake. Amen. For those of you listening on, may the Lord richly bless you, be assured of our love and prayers for you. Just a reminder, we meet at 11 a.m. this coming Lord's Day morning and at 6 p.m. in the evening.